You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the fifth Sunday of Easter, May 14, 2017, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Our Gospel reading this morning has some of the most widely misunderstood language in all of the Christian scriptures. To get what I'm talking about, let's step back for a moment and consider John's Gospel as a whole. Right at the start of the Gospel, we hear a creation story. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people." What came into being through him, through Jesus, was life. Remember in last week's gospel, we heard Jesus say, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And remember, we had a conversation on what an abundant life looks like. Of course, it's different for each one of us, but a constant thread that runs through any notion or idea of abundance of life is relationships. Healthy, life-giving relationships with family, with friends, with communities is at the heart of the abundant life. Now, you've heard of the famous Harvard study on the happy life, haven't you? This study was begun in 1938 in the heart of the Great Depression. It started with 238 college sophomores. And this group has been followed by these sociologists over the last 80 years. The original group included people like JFK and Ben Bradley of the Washington Post. And over the years, the groups expanded to include the children and grandchildren of the group. In the 70s, another group of 456 Boston inner city residents was established for comparison with the original group. The purpose of these so-called longitudinal studies, and that just means studies that are carried out over a long period of time, is really pretty simple. What are the most important contributors in our lives to health and happiness? The answer, among both the highly educated and affluent Harvard group and the less affluent and less well-educated inner city group, was the same. And it won't surprise faithful Christians. The most important indicator of happiness and physical and mental health is happy and healthy relationships. It seems that the abundant life is most often predicated on abundant relationships. And not necessarily the quantity of our relationships, but certainly the quality. Not money or success or being famous. That's not what happiness is predicated on. No, health and well-being are predicated on thriving and flourishing relationships. So what's that have to do with John's gospel? Everything. Back to the creation story in chapter 1. After telling us that what came into being in Jesus, the Word made flesh, was life, John says, "No one has seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." So the Son is in the Father and the Father is in the Son. You know, we heard Jesus say that just a minute ago when he was talking to his disciples. And we'll hear it over and over and over again in John's gospel. In other words, it's the relationship between Jesus and the Father that God is made known in the world. It's through that relationship. Health, wholeness, salvation, the abundant life itself is in that relationship. Now, let's come forward to today's reading, this passage from John that's so widely misunderstood. First, we hear Jesus, we catch Jesus this morning in the midst of saying goodbye to his friends. This is on the night before his arrest and his trial. He says to his friends, and of course they're scared and mourning and, you know, grieving his loss. And he says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Trust in God. Believe also in me. Trust in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." You all, many of you remember the old King James translation. "In my Father's house there are many mansions, many dwelling places." You see the sort of the infinite expansiveness that Jesus is alluding to. "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." Now, we often think of the Father's house as a place, as a destination, and specifically as a place called heaven. But that's not how John understands it, and that's sure not how Jesus understands it. The Father's house that Jesus talks about over and over again in John's gospel describes the intimate interconnectedness and the relationship between Jesus and his Father. That's this big dwelling place. It's where they dwell in interdependence and interconnectedness and mutuality. And he's saying that for all who trust in him, they're part of that relationship too. All who trust in him have a place in that relationship. They have their own place there in the Father's house. See, in that relationship. And then Thomas asks a question we all want to ask, but are probably too afraid to. "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus famously replies, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, to put it mildly, this statement has been widely misunderstood to mean nobody gets to heaven unless you check off the Jesus box. Right? That's just not what it means at all. But if you stop and think about it, Jesus' answer is pretty strange. If he's pointing to a place called heaven that has a specific location out there somewhere, you know, if that's what he was saying, we could have expected him to say, "I'll show you the way. I'll point you in the right direction. I'll give you some instructions or guidelines or rules about how to get there." You know, if getting to a place called heaven was based on our moral performance, which is what a lot of us have been brought up to believe, you know, that we get to heaven if we behave ourselves. Jesus would be telling us, he'd be showing us that as the way. He'd be saying, I'll give you the guidelines or the rule book or the playbook that tells you how to get to heaven. And you know, if you stop and think about it, if that's all the message was, the Bible would be real simple. It could be real short. It could be a lot shorter than the owner's manual in your automobile. You know, in fact, it could only be about one page long. And it could have 10 points. Remember, you know what those 10 points are. You know, if that was the message Jesus was trying to convey, then the Bible would be a whole lot different from the big sort of beautiful mess that the Bible is. You know what I mean by that? You know, the Bible is really an encyclopedia, and it contains 66 books, and it tells lots of different stories, and some of those stories just flatly contradict each other. So if God wanted to give us a roadmap to get to heaven, it would have been a lot simpler than what we actually have in front of us. But that's obviously not what God is up to in the Bible. No, the Bible is the story of who we are as God's people, and the story of how God is always inviting us into relationship with God. What the Bible calls covenant. The covenant is nothing more than an invitation to relationship. And you know what happens in our relationship with God? We screw it up. We screw it up all the time. And what does the faithful God do? The faithful God is always chasing us, always pursuing us, always actively after us, inviting us back into relationship. That's the story of the Bible. And it gets told in you know, 100 different ways in the Bible. And so the Bible is not a rule book. A rule book would look a whole lot different than what we have now. So it must be that the Bible is not, the story of us as God's people is not a story of people being expected to live up to some impossible set of rules. Because we'd all fall short, and we do all fall short of that. No, the Bible's about something different. And so that must mean that heaven isn't a place that we sort of aspire to and that we're trying to find our way to. No, heaven is a relationship. A relationship between Jesus and his Father that has room for all of us. If only we'll trust. If only we'll surrender. If only we'll be vulnerable enough and humble enough to give our hearts, to give our heads, to give our souls to this relationship. And it's a relationship that lasts forever. Past the end of the age and into eternity, we are all included. We belong. So back to our Harvard study. A huge takeaway from that study is that our relationships, the ones that thrive and flourish and are life-giving, are a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is in relationships. So tend your relationships. Are there some hurts or slights or injuries that need to be mended? Do it now. Don't wait. Do it today. Tend your relationships just like you tend your spring garden, if it ever gets to be spring. That's freezing out there. What's going on? It's May the 14th. Don't take your relationships for granted. And by the way, speaking of your relationships, have you called your mother yet? It's Mother's Day, you know. Call her and tell her how much you appreciate her and love her. Take her out to lunch. Tend that most important relationship. Or maybe you're like me, and your mom isn't immediately available by phone because she's in heaven. You know, that special room and that special relationship between Jesus and the Father. That's where my mom is, and yours too, if she's not available by phone. But you can sure be thankful for her and thankful for the life that she gave you, thankful for all the love that she gave you, and send her your love now. Or maybe you're not inclined to be in touch with your mom today. You know, that's a sad reality for some of us. You know, Mother's Day is tricky. Some of our relationships with our parents are just difficult. Some parents can be cold and distant and maybe even emotionally abusive. And so, you know, it might be complicated to think about your mother in that situation. But real forgiveness, even if it's a one-way street, can be the beginning of your healing. And, you know, some moms might have children who are less attentive and thoughtful than they might be. Well, that can be complicated too. But those kids need your love now just as much as they did when they were 2 years old, even if they might not quite recognize it. So love them with God's love. Love them with unconditional love, even when your children disappoint you. And you know, some of us are either have chosen not to have children or for some reason are unable to have children. But you know what? You've got mother's love, and our world is dying for mother's love. For that maternal love just offered wherever you can. You know, we are literally dying for want of maternal love. So you've got it to share, and share it. That's one thing to think about on this Mother's Day, is how will we share that beautiful feminine maternal love? The kingdom of heaven is about relationships. It's about that special relationship, that heavenly relationship between the Father and Jesus. And that's the model for all of our relationships. Relationships built on compassion. Relationships built on healing. Relationships built on forgiveness. Relationships built on joy. And Jesus, the pattern, the blueprint. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life is bringing us home. Bringing you and me for all eternity into a very special relationship. And that's why we call it heaven. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.